prophecy is no longer coming. It's here. Tonight on Last Christian, we discuss prophecy unfolding, global events accelerating toward the end, and it begins now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City.
How you doing?
How's it going over there today, David?
I'm good. I decided to visit the Mount of Transfiguration today.
I see that.
I was going to see it. I asked Moses and Elijah if they were actually the two witnesses. I think they are.
Well, you know, your guess is as good as mine right now. You probably, but it sounds like a pretty decent guess.
Yeah.
From everything. David,
well,
go ahead.
We have fun things to talk about, though.
Yes, we do. David, go ahead and pray us into the show, and then I'll show everybody what we have got scheduled for today.
Nice. All right. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that we can spread your word. We ask that this would be seeds that goes forth and plants souls for the kingdom. We give you all the praise and glory and guide our words and guide our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Before we even get started today, you know, I like to get this out of the way just as quick as I can, but it is important, and that is the fact that here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. So whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference and is fully tax-deductible. You can also support us by just shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. When you buy, they give and we grow. That's Everyday Dose Coffee. Start your day a day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. We have the Conservative Store over there. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. And, of course, there's Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And last but definitely not least is Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today. Then donate or shop with a purpose. Together, we are reaching Christ. Just one message at a time. Now,
one at a time.
Yeah. With that, David, I'm going to show everybody what we are going to talk about today. I think we got a pretty cool show lined up for you. First of all, here in segment one, we're going to talk about the Temple Mount. Is it the tipping point? Is it the prelude to the abomination? Segment two, the kings of the East rise, technology, tyranny, and a trail to Armageddon. Then we'll, in the second half, we'll go on with the spirit of the Antichrist, global lawlessness and moral collapse. And lastly, signs in the heavens and the earth. Yes, they are there. But is it God's final warning? Well, we're gonna talk about that. So, David, I'm going to kick this off right away. This week, a firestorm has erupted across the Islamic world following a quiet but significant move by Israeli religious authorities. Unannounced to the public, small groups of Jewish worshipers were seen praying openly on the Temple Mount. Now, these are not tourists, but those dressed in priestly garments, accompanied by scholars from the Temple Institute. Eyewitnesses say it was not a protest or a political demonstration, but a dry run rehearsal for something much more. The atmosphere in Jerusalem is tense. Palestinian leadership has declared a religious war, and Muslim nations, including Turkey and Iran, are calling for an emergency summit. But what most of the world fails to realize is the spiritual significance here. The stage for the Third Temple is being quietly set. This is more than geopolitics. This is a precursor to the abomination of desolation that we'll talk about a lot later. But it is foretold in both Matthew 24 and in Daniel 9. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute, David, and give you an opportunity to comment, because there's some pretty significant stuff there just in that first section.
Yeah, I mean, that is it. Matthew 24 is Jesus confirming Daniel 9. He says, hey, you're going to see all this cool stuff, you know, nation against nation, the world's blowing up, you know, the sun's falling apart. You're going to see all these things, but that is not the sign.
Right.
The sign for his returning in their view to rule and reign. Because remember, Matthew 24 was talking about, you know, they asked him, when are you going to take over and rule and reign? Had nothing to do with the rapture because they didn't even know the church existed at that point.
Right.
So his ruling and reigning will be preceded by the abomination of desolation, which essentially the guy who pretends to be Christ goes in there and he all of a sudden sits down and says, okay, now I rule and everyone has to worship me.
Yeah.
And he does some things that aren't supposed to be done in the Temple Mount, and that just goes to the law. You can look those up. But basically, he tries to take over and says, okay, I'm the Christ. That is the abomination of desolation.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be done on the Temple, in the Temple Mount, in the mercy seat. So they're going to have either the real mercy seat or a replica, fake one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to sit in there and proclaim to be God, and that is the abomination. And he says that's the sign.
Okay, now you just said something there that I'm gonna give you a chance to come back to, and that is the mercy seat. Now, are we talking about the mercy seat that sits atop the Ark of the Covenant? Is that what
that
you're
is
talking
correct.
About?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify that because you know there are some that say that they know where it is, and they're just waiting to bring it out at the right time. So that would add up. So anyway, I'm sorry to butt in on you there, but I wanted to make that specific point of exactly what we were looking for because they haven't found that in, what, 4,000 years or so?
It's been a little bit, I think 3,000 since
okay.
Solomon, most likely,
yeah.
and
his okay.
Jeremiah. There's all sorts of conjecture about where it is. I am of the opinion that they're going to have the replica.
Okay.
But everyone's going to think it is because I don't know if Almighty God would actually let.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Yes, you are correct. I cannot see God allowing Satan to sit in his seat. That ain't happening.
Yeah. He'll and since he's a false Christ on a false white horse with false promises,
yeah,
he's probably sitting on a false mercy seat,
yeah.
but they believe it's the real one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just my opinion. We'll find out right after it happens.
Right. Okay. Well, let's look at the second half here, David. Or no, it's not even really a half. But anyway, meanwhile, the rabbis here in Israel continue to insist that the time is ripe. Some claim all ritual objects are ready. The red heifers are reaching the required age. And certain Levites say that they are ready to serve right now. So could it be what we're witnessing is the quiet opening of the final chapter? Scripture says that when the daily sacrifice begins again, the countdown to the return of Christ enters its most visible phase, and that day seems to be drawing closer, and it's closing fast. Would you agree?
Yeah, you start rolling downhill, it just gets faster and faster. You crash on the bottom, so that's exciting. We're almost home.
Yeah.
Here's a couple things. I heard a rumor, have no idea how true it is, that they actually did sacrifice the perfect cow.
I saw something on that yesterday. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it might just be garbage, but that's not the point. Whether it's actually true or not, the real thing it's forefront in the discussion. Okay, where it wasn't forefront in the discussion 20 years ago, it wasn't 10 years ago. It was just starting to come to discussion last year. And okay, we're getting ready. We have the cows, et al. You know, and our friend Mondo Gonzalez with his book says, yeah, these are the ones.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to talk about, they did it. So whether it's true or not.
Well,
they're about to do it.
They didn't do it. Okay. Now, as far as the actual, it's not, Mondo said don't call it sacrifice. I forget what he said call it. But it's like a service, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Anyway, that service has to take place on the Mount of Olives, from my understanding. Mm-hmm. And also, again, I can't remember if Mondo said this on his show or on our show, but and it might not even have been him. It might have been another prophecy teacher. But they said that, you know, when this happens, everybody's going to know it because of the location and you know, you got all the fire and all that stuff, that you're going to have both communities, the Muslim community and the Jewish community, join in with Christian too, are going to say, whoa, wait a minute, look at what's happening over here. You know, it's not going to be a secret. It's, you know, everybody's going to see this. Now, my understanding is that, yes, they did have a sacrifice or you know, whatever. They had a service somewhere, but it wasn't in the correct location. That, you know, that's at least what my understanding of it. Now, maybe you saw something different, David. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I just, the rumors are floating around. And like I said, it's unimportant whether that's actually true or not. The the point is that the narrative is heating up.
Yeah.
And that means we're getting real close. We've got this narrative going on. And yeah, 100%. It's a, you know, everybody's waiting. And well, here we are, folks. We're here. You better pack up.
I think even the Muslim community is aware that this is going to happen at some point, whether they like it or not. And, you know, and they're going to have to deal with it. And one of the big things that's come up here in the last 48 hours is, you know, the war in Gaza appears to be at a point now where I did see this, and this is verified, that they now have gotten the go-ahead from the Israeli government to take over Gaza and to fully occupy it. And, you know, occupy is a bad word, in my opinion. They're not occupying something that they already own.
Yeah, take it back.
Retake, I think, would be a better term. But, of course, the world is looking at it as occupy because they don't want to go along with Israel, you know.
Well, ironically, most of the Gazans want that, too. Because they don't want Hamas. Most of the citizens there are like, no, can we go back to Israel, please?
Right. All right, well, let's look at this now. Moving on here, the Kings of the East Rise. This is technology, a tyranny, a trail to Armageddon. In Asia, you got two terrifying developments converging, one technological, the other militaristic, but both undeniably prophetic. First, China has officially launched its global social credit extension. This is a biometric and blockchain-based ID that is now promoted to all of the allied nations, or they're giving them the opportunity to take advantage of it. This system uses AI surveillance, facial recognition, and behavior tracking to determine your access to transportation, employment, and even food. It is already being implemented in partner nations across Southeast Asia and Africa. So what began as a domestic experiment is now a global prototype for total economic control, eerily similar to the Mark of the Beast system in Revelation 13. What do you think of that, David? Because when I saw food, it clicked right away with me. This is very prophetic. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's extremely prophetic. And like I've been saying for a couple of years now, look at biometric and blockchain based. The current math system that we use, a 10 base, is not sufficient to accurately track every last person in the world in a blockchain based ID, where a hexadecimal system would certainly do that. And that's what ancient Babylon used. They use a 6 and 60 and 600 base. And that's where what we see. The mark of the beast is 600 and 60 and 6.
Right.
Remember, it's not 666. It's 600 and 60 and 6. It's actually two different things there with three different parts. And we still see that today. We got 60 minutes in an hour, and then, you know, 360 degrees, because it's 60 times 6. So we're going to, this just makes sense to have the blockchain, with that new mathematical system to control everybody. And this is another fast step, but we have to remember, also that technology will not be fully, enforced until the middle of the tribulation.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wanted to jump in real quick and tell you about a situation I ran into in my church a few years ago. Had nothing to do with church. It was a one of the members of the church went to the pastor and said, I just bought a new car, and I'm really worried. And he looked at her like, you don't have any second thoughts on it or, you know, what? And said, no, it's the payment. And she said, well, my payment is $666 a month. Is that the mark of the beast? Am I taking the mark of the beast?
And,
and
go tell yourself.
You know, even though Jim said, you know, no, it's got nothing to do with it, she actually went back to the dealership and had them completely rework the contract and made her payment go up to get rid of the 666. I mean, that, you know, now some people take this to a, you know, massive extreme here. I mean,
I guess if it bothers her, you wouldn't want to look at that every day. Poor woman. I don't fault her for that. I don't agree with it, but
I don't agree with it either. But you know, the point is that you have to voluntarily accept it, and that was the point I think that she couldn't get over. You know, she had voluntarily accepted a $666 payment. So I think maybe if Jim had broken it down for her the way that you have, you know, instead of 666, the 600, what did you say, 660?
And 60 and 6.
Yeah, okay, that I think probably would have done it. But he didn't think of that, obviously.
Yeah, because it's just not taught. I mean, we're taught so many things that we just take for granted in the Bible, and that's, you know, what started me down this journey years ago. Is that what it really says? You know, that's my first question. Did it really say that?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good starting point. I'm going to let you continue here, but that's a really good starting point. You know, does it really say that? I think that's an important question to ask about every topic in the Bible. Does it really say that? And you can go back and prove it in one way or the other.
Yeah, and that started him. And, you know, Satan, that was his original question. Did God really say that? And then my thought was, well, I'm going to go prove it to you. Did he really say that? Yeah, let's go find out, shall we? Let's look together.
There you go.
And we look together and say, well, yep, this is what he said. Mm-hmm. And then, ironically, because, you know, Satan's a gaslighter, he's the one to say, oh, did God really say that? And meanwhile, he's the one that's twisting the words around.
Right.
And then, so, wait a minute, let's talk about your stuff. Did God really say that? That's what we got to turn it around. Did he say that? You know, the 144,000 are witnesses? No, it didn't say that. It didn't say that anywhere. So this is the type of thing, you know, you really got to, you just pull it apart and say, does it really say that?
Yeah.
What does it really say?
Right. Well, look at the second half of this one now. At the same time here, China and Russia have conducted joint military exercises in the South China Sea and the Indian Ocean. Now, this openly simulating a coordinated blockade of Western naval routes. So, for the first time, Chinese and Iranian naval officers were embedded aboard Russian command vessels. These aren't just alliances of convenience. They are emerging as the kings of the East, described in Revelation 16, preparing for their march across the Euphrates. Speaking of rivers, the actual Euphrates continues to dry, exposing ancient ruins and laying bare prophetic realities that the world refuses to acknowledge. The path is being cleared physically and spiritually. These nations are not merely rising in power, they are stepping into preordained roles. And as they do, the world is being funneled toward the inevitable war of wars, and then, of course, Armageddon. But what got me, David, in that particular thing was a mention of the waters drying up and, you know, things being found. And the news didn't go into detail. So I went and looked it up.
Nice. And
now, we're going to do a whole show on this, by the way.
Nice.
But I'm just going to run through these real quick without going into detail. What lies beneath the water as we know it right now, there's Zakhiru, that's Z-A-K-H-I-K-U, the Bronze Age city emerging from the depths. It has fortified city walls up to 10 feet tall. Now, again, this is being uncovered as the river dries up. Let's see, you got, what's the number two here? Tel Karo or something. It's an ancient trade and worship center. Then there's the ruins of the Assyrian and Neo-Babylonian settlements. There are early Christian and Jewish artifacts that are being uncovered there. And if I can get my fingers to work here and go over to the next page, evidence of, no, you'll love this one, evidence of pre-flood megastructures. Also, let me see, I think there's one more maybe. It just says the drying of the Euphrates is not just a natural disaster or regional drought. It's a prophetic unsealing. What was buried is now being brought to light. What is hidden is now seen. It's time to prepare spiritually and prophetically right now. So anyway, we're going to do a whole show on that one. Okay, because there's a lot.
I got to see if there's any portals down there too.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But David, what do you think about this though? The Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians all coming together and working together. That really sounds all Ezekiel-like to me. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. And remember, they're all coming to like to fight each other because these are principalities and powers. They all want to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So in Revelation 16, and then we'll start in 11, but this is interesting. I'll talk about the kings of the East.
Okay.
Said they, let's start in 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Okay. So apparently the seat of the beast is intact.
Mm-hmm.
And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and repented not of their deeds. So no matter all this stuff that God's, you know, basically chastising them and saying, hey, you got to change, you got to change. But instead, they blasphemed him. They yelled at him. And we see that today. People are like, oh, why would God kill people? Oh, your God's going to destroy the world. Oh, your God, you know, destroyed nations back then. He's a baby killer. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, not
meanwhile, they got Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, they don't understand anything.
All right. And it's like it's all because of their sin that he's chastising them to try and get them to repent. But they didn't repent. So here's what happens. The sixth angel pours out his vial on the great river Euphrates.
There you go.
So that's what we're seeing precursors to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So they each had an unclean frog spirit come out. The spirit of devils working miracles. So they're going to actually work miracles.
Yeah.
All these demons. Mm-hmm. And so people are going to be in awe. Oh, look, they work miracles. Now, they are literal kings of the east that are coming because it is on the other side of the Euphrates and is dried up. But when you talk about the east, okay, it means that that's from the beginning of things. So the east, that's where the sun rises and everything starts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So metaphorically, these kings of the east are the original kings that we saw, you know, with just the King James is that, you know, the old English just says kings, but they're rulers. You know, we can tie this to Paul and the, you know, principalities and rulers. We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers.
Right.
Well, these rulers that have been there from the beginning, you see the thing here? The kings of the east.
Right.
Oh, are they kings? You know, they're just rulers from the east. No, these are the principalities and powers that were there from the beginning fighting over all this stuff. And now the war has come.
Yeah.
So metaphorically, you can see the whole thing. Yeah, but it plays out physically as well.
Yeah. Well, one thing that you said there was something about the seat of the Antichrist or something. I don't remember exactly how you worded it.
Right.
You know that they have the seat of Satan in Germany on display?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is, I have said for a long time, now this has been my personal opinion, nothing else, just my opinion, that the Antichrist either comes from Germany or rules from there. You know, now, you know, just like Jesus went from you know, from Bethlehem to Egypt, and then, you know, back into Israel again. You know, the Antichrist could actually come from anywhere, and it would still count if Germany was involved in it somewhere in there. But, you know, you've got the seat of Satan on display in Germany, along with, I forget what it was called. There's a big gate that they also took out and placed mm-hmm. in Germany. These are all on, you know, it's like going to Six Flags or something, far as the Germans are concerned. You know, and that just jumped out at me, David, that, you know, if they're going to do something to the seat of Satan, does that mean it happens in Germany? You know, I mean,
I don't know.
And it's kind of a weird deal, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that anyway.
Well, Hitler was there. Did he bring that seat over?
I don't know.
Look for the spear of destiny.
Yeah, I didn't do enough research on it yet. I will.
Okay. So don't really look at much of what Satan does. He's going to fall apart. So I'm really not familiar with that too much. But why not? I mean, it's one of the possibilities, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's the cool thing about the Bible is it gives you so many possibilities, you know.
But that's on purpose, you know.
The thing is that you can take those and, you know, run down a rabbit hole with it if you want to.
Right.
But what I try to do instead is I'll make a little note, just like in this particular case, and something to look at later. And then go ahead and go ahead with your Bible study of that day or whatever you were mm-hmm. into, you know. And then after you do all that, then you'll be like me and David, and you will come up with your list of questions that you just can't answer to save your life that you're going to ask the good Lord when the day comes. Right, David?
Mm-hmm. Hang on. It's questions. Was that Moses and Elijah at the tomb? I got to know.
I mean, we have run across, I don't know, at least a couple of dozen questions that we have decided we need to have answered when the time comes. So, you know, why not? The thing is, though, is when you are given a mystery like that, it's going to be answered at some point in time. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure people back in the, 1800s and stuff wondered how in the world you're going to, be visible to everybody on earth at exactly the same time, and you know, right. all kinds of different things, you know. So mm-hmm. anyway, all these answers come, you know, they do come. So and, you know, David says it all the time, you know, it immediately after an event happens.
Yep, after it happens.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, we got to get out for the second half here. So if you guys haven't received the Lord yet and you want those answers, I would suggest you just accept his payment for your sins. And Lord willing, we will see you in the second half of the show. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on RevelationRadio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there in New York City. David, moving right on along here, we're going to look at the spirit of the Antichrist, the global lawlessness and morale collapse. Just in the past 7 days, we've seen just how far the world has fallen and how near the coming of the lawless one truly is. Across major Western cities, coordinated protests erupted demanding new laws to criminalize hate speech, specifically targeting Christian beliefs on gender, sexuality, and exclusivity of salvation. Pastors in multiple nations were arrested this week simply for preaching sermons on Romans 1 and John 14:6. In Canada, a pastor was dragged from his pulpit mid-service under new civil disruption legislation. And in Germany, the cross was removed from several public buildings following a new secularism act. I couldn't even say the word, David. What do you think of that? I mean, that sounds like it is definitely an attack specifically on Christians.
Oh, 100%. And it's because, you know, Satan can, all he could do is force people to do things, you know, where it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, and the prayer. And, you know, God's power is shown throughout the world. But we need to pray. We have jurisdiction over this planet, and the church doesn't realize that. Okay. So when you got this new apostolic revolution, and people say, oh, the church is going to take over. The church is not going to take over. The Bible clearly says it's just going to get worse and worse, and people will be lovers of themselves, and it'll just be here. It's going to come to the point where the Christians won't be here anymore. When it says the apostasy, King James translated that word, you know, the great apostasy, we call it. Oh, the church is going to, you know, just be not the church anymore and not believe the doctrines. No, that started in the beginning. There was an apostasy right from the beginning, and they called it all out. They even wrote it. I think was Irenaeus. One of them had wrote a book on the apostasy back then. So apostasy is not the thing that causes the Antichrist to come. It is the disappearance of the church. Yeah. And that word apostasia is literally the departing. It means to depart. So they departed from the faith. No, they departed from the planet.
Yeah, right.
And that's what that means, a great apostasy. And if you look in that whole context, the entire two chapters was talking about the return of Christ to come and get them. Mm-hmm. So, and then he says, oh, but you won't see the Antichrist until the great departure. Mm-hmm. It's literally what it says.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, the church is going to go. The church has been bad for millennia.
yeah, there will be churches in session the Sunday after the rapture occurs, I promise you.
So that's what's going to happen. The only thing, it says the abomination is here. The only reason it's staying down now is because the church is here.
Right.
So these things, they're not going to take hold right now. They're going to try and push it and try and push it. But the only reason they're pushing it now is because the spirits know that the timing is near.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They know wow, we're getting to the end of this 6,000 years here, and the 2,000 years from, you know, from Christ and the, you know, the temple collapsing. We're getting close. Mm-hmm. They don't know the day or the hour either, but they know the closer we get to this, which means we're this much closer to the rapture.
Right.
So they're setting it up now. Mm-hmm. So when the church does depart, they can shove this in immediately, and they can even use that as a catalyst. If you read the, some of the early Hebrew church stuff, when they translated the New Testament writings into the Hebrew, all of the essence of it, they translated the essence of everything was the disappearance of the church is going to be the cause of all of these abominations.
Oh, yeah, it has to be, because that's the departure of the Holy Spirit that's holding all that crap back. But David, I wanted you to help people out with a couple of things here as far as scripture goes, because you're the Bible guy, so I'm counting on you on this one. And that is that it says that pastors in multiple nations were arrested this week simply for preaching sermons from Romans 1 and John 14:6. So exactly why would they be so interested in stopping people from preaching from those two particular reference points?
Because Romans 1 basically calls them fools, and they don't like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted specifically, you know, he's the Son of God, and he has power, and he's a spirit of holiness, and he's resurrection. So he says that you guys, all your stuff, you proclaim to be wise, but you're fools. And that's what it is. And you it says here, you change the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image made like a corruptible man, like birds.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically is tearing down their idols.
Yeah.
And they don't like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're fools. You got fake idols. It's all garbage, and there was no evolution. And they don't like that at all, because then they have to be held accountable, and they don't want to face that.
Okay.
And then John 14:6, clearly Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
There it is.
And
that's
no
the
one comes to the Father but by me.
There it is. That's the one right there that it would drive anyone that is not of the Christian faith absolutely nuts. I mean,
meanwhile, they're letting all these Islam people in, or the Muslims, they're letting them all in, and they're crying, oh, you have, there's only one God, Allah, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And they let them do it, but, oh, God forbid that Jesus does it. So you know it's a spirit of Antichrist and all of that. But that's to be given. And you know what? Jesus said that. He said, listen, they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Yeah.
That's the deal, but don't worry about it. I'm going to come back. You just endure until we come back.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that particular section there dealt with these protests declaring hate speech on anything Christian, like gender being just male and female, sexuality in general, and, of course, exclusivity of salvation.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, they just don't like that. They don't like hearing that there's only one way to heaven. I mean, you know, and again, that brings you back down to John 14:6. Mm-hmm. But you know, right now there's a whole bunch of different organizations and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, where you have these joint sessions of what do they call it? All these faiths come together, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. They're all together.
Oh, we're going to have peace. No, you're not.
Yeah. Well, I just, again, I'll say it again. I lose faith, lose a lot of respect for any Christian minister that shows up for one of those sessions. Because it's not so much that they're going out there and preaching the word of God. Great. That's wonderful. But they're giving credibility to the others by sharing the stage with them. That's my opinion. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% wrong. And I got to stop saying yeah when I answer questions. So.
Okay.
It's like, I guess. All right, stop saying it, David. So here's the deal with that.
Okay.
you cannot be saved other than Jesus. It was Jesus who is God Almighty,
mm-hmm.
who came down, and he is the one that paid off all of your sin debt.
Correct. Okay?
There is no other God. There's no other religion. There's nothing else you can do. You can spin your wheel 1,000 times a day. It's not going to pay off your sins, mm-hmm. okay? You can say Hail Marys till you're blue in the face. It's not going to pay off your sins.
Right.
Okay, even though it sounds so good. Oh, Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work, all right? But that's what the whole idea is, to numb you into thinking it'll work. Mm-hmm. So people get upset when you tell them what they're doing is not going to work. When
right.
actually, that's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying, hey, listen, yeah, I could just let you keep doing that and you're going to run right off the cliff, but there's a cliff in front of you.
Right.
Why don't you stop mm-hmm. and come over here, because this is Jesus and he is the answer. And they don't like is the answer. Now, who wouldn't love you to tell them the truth and the answer? Everybody wants the truth.
Right.
So mm-hmm. who is it that's trying not to tell them the truth? The one who can't be affected by that. Satan has lost his position eternally.
Right.
Okay, so mm-hmm. he is trying to destroy mankind on purpose. Satan mm-hmm. is trying to destroy you with all these things. And he comes saying, oh, but it's nice. Oh, it's we have to be tolerant. And that's what Christian love would do. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, you're so full of love, aren't you? Yeah, love is telling you the truth.
Exactly.
You're a fool.
Exactly.
And you're about to go into hell. Mm-hmm. Oh, your fake sky god is going to send me to hell if I don't. That's not. You're not getting the point. The point is you sent yourself to hell. Uh-huh. I mean, he's trying to get you out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I mean, people have to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've got to do that for themselves. Have to do it for yourself. If you don't do it for yourself, well, you know, I can't do it for you. David can't do mm-hmm. it for you. Your pastor, if you're in a church, they can't do it for you either. No priest can do it. The Pope can't do it. Okay? The Pope cannot forgive you of sins. Okay? Just very bluntly, if you're a Catholic out there, the Pope cannot forgive you of sins. You have got to take it directly to the only person that can, and that's Jesus Christ. And you use him as your mediator. Take him to court, as David would say, with the contract. And, mm-hmm. You know, you can find salvation. Trust me, everybody can. There's not going to be a Catholic section in heaven. There's not going to be a Baptist section in heaven. We're all going to be, either you are a part or you're not.
That's Church of Christ. They think they're the only ones here.
Yeah, right. All right, let's move on to the next one here, David. And let me see here. This is not simply persecution. It's the preparation for a global rejection of truth. The spirit of the Antichrist is moving across nations, deceiving the masses, preparing the way for a false Messiah and one world government void of God. In education, new United Nations-backed curricula now require children as young as 6 to be taught that faith-based morality is non-inclusive. Parents who resist face removal of their children in multiple nations. Scripture warned that in the last days people would call evil good and good evil, that they would give up sound doctrine and gather to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear. That day is not coming. It's obviously here. What we are witnessing is not just a moral slide. It's a prophetic collapse. And the man of sin is waiting in the shadows, waiting for his moment. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, the true church is here, and we're keeping all this stuff down. But they're preparing in the background because they know the rapture is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, the rapture happens. All those evil people left on that spaceship, they're getting re-educated.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're going to implement this. And so it has to be prepared and ready for immediate implementation mm-hmm. when the church is gone. So we can see this. It's all being set up.
Yeah,
you know, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to happen while we're here because we're righteous. And I mean, we're getting somewhat of a reprieve here in the United States. You know, it's
a bit
going backwards, but it's just a reprieve because all the people that even, are not with the left woke mentality, vast majority of them aren't saved yet either. So
right.
it's just,
Yeah,
there's no power there. They just don't want to do.
I've seen some sad stuff here in the last few days. Let's look here at the last thing we got here is God's final warnings. And again, this past week, the skies themselves spoke loudly for those who have ears to hear. In southern Israel, a series of rare celestial phenomena was recorded. Bright red auroras appeared over the Negev, far from any magnetic pole, and lasting nearly an hour. Experts have no scientific explanation, but the timing is no accident. Scripture tells us there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Elsewhere, Brazil was hit by a historic solar storm that temporarily disrupted power grids and turned the night sky blood red. Residents from remote Amazon villages reported visions and dreams of judgment. Many began to weep and pray spontaneously, including those from animist and Catholic backgrounds. And I'm going to add on here real quick, David, and let you comment, the fact that New Jersey had a couple of earthquakes just this week. That's not really normal for New Jersey, is it?
No, it's my old stomping grounds over there. New York City and then subsequently all the surrounding areas, which would include, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, and New Jersey. It's all essentially the same area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge rock, okay, which is why they can build those giant buildings on it, because it's literally a rock. Some of the problem with the rock is you feel all the vibrations if something happens.
Mm.
And it's going to all of a sudden crack. So if it's softer, it'll kind of settle around and give a little bit. But if it's hard, the pressure builds up and builds up and builds up, and then all of a sudden you get that snap.
Yeah, okay.
And it's been a little over 400 years or so since a major earthquake is here, so it's due.
Okay.
So these just might be signs. And then there's the blob. I don't know if you saw the blob.
No, well, I did and I didn't. I don't remember much of it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a prophetic movie of the blob was taking over. No, there's actually a heat blob, like underneath the crust, heading right towards New York City.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's like this giant magma thing. I think it's the size of Yellowstone Park.
Oh wow! Yeah.
So there's a heat blob, and you're just figuring this out now, I guess. Yeah, it's hard to look down there, I guess. But so the blob's heading over, and you know, it's a den of iniquity here. It has been for years, so there's no reason the judgment won't come.
Well, you know, I keep seeing where, you know, earthquake 7 point something or 8 point something, and now. If it had been reported like a year ago, you know, that there's an earthquake that's 8 point something, okay, that would have been news for at least an entire day, okay? But now you've got so many earthquakes occurring all over the world at the same time, sometimes hundreds of them in about the same location.
I think they had a record. There was 395 that were over 5.0 in a month.
Yeah, and I mean, this is Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24 for goodness sake. It's on the computer. You know, just type it in the search engine, Matthew 24, and read the thing.
For millennia.
Yeah, it's right there.
Here's the cool thing too. That big. What was it? 8.8. Whatever it was.
Yeah, 8.8. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that had triggered a series of 7 volcanoes.
One of them in the same location as the earthquake, which caused yet another tsunami wave. Go ahead.
Yep, and that have not been active in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
So basically, it's cracking everything open.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there it is. It's cracking open a ring of fire again. Fun.
Exactly the way that the Bible is written. So please go to Matthew 24 and read that, because
mountains will melt. Yeah. That's how they describe volcanoes. Mountains will melt.
Yeah. So now on the ground, you've got massive floods have devastated parts of India and Indonesia, displacing hundreds of thousands. You got landslides, firestorms, and droughts are accelerating. The earth is not climate changing. I mean, you know, when you really get into climate change, Well, the climate changes every day because the temperature changes every day. Plain and simple.
I turn the air conditioner on.
Yeah, right. The earth is groaning, as Paul wrote in Romans 8, awaiting the return of its rightful king. So the convergence is undeniable. You got signs above, you got shakings below, and you got a moral collapse in between. These are the labor pains that Jesus warned of in Matthew 24. We are not just watching prophecy unfold. We're living in the moments right before the trumpet sounds. So the church simply must awaken, preach the gospel, and prepare because the bridegroom is coming soon. Would you agree with that, Mr. Paxton?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the science, there's the second law of thermodynamics is entropy. It basically means everything's falling apart. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's falling apart because it's out of sync with the creator, you know, and everything was created with vibrations. Sound waves are vibrations. Light waves are vibrations. Okay. Everything has a frequency to it. Okay. That's even how they built all the old megastructures. There's certain frequencies and you can actually levitate things. But they don't want to tell us that. So they just kind of.
Right.
Remember that guy in Florida built a whole thing and he wouldn't tell anyone how he did it? That's how he did it. But the frequencies that we're on, because we're out of sync with the creator now because we're trying to do things on our own. Remember, that was the original sin. Oh, you could be God without God. Well, then you're on the wrong frequency, and he kind of made everything. And if he's got a frequency of this in our time-space matrix, and you're over here at a different frequency, you can't exist in it, and it's going to start to collapse and fall apart.
Right.
And you certainly can't exist in his face. That's why he says, no man can see my face and live.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see his face, he's on a perfect frequency above and beyond all of creation.
Yeah, look what happened to Moses when he went up on...
Yeah, and he only saw the back of him, and he glowed in the dark for how long?
Man, I mean, from what the Bible described, I can only imagine what the Israelis who actually saw him come back must have. I mean, can you even imagine what their shock would be, you know?
Yeah, and imagine Peter, James, and John seeing Moses and Elijah on a mountain.
Right?
What? Whoa! So you can't blame Peter for saying, yeah, let's build three houses.
For real. Yeah. Yeah.
That was his MO. He's like, oh, man, that their whole life was the law and the prophets.
Right.
Like, oh, this is great. Let's build some houses. And he said,
that was to them or to him, that was probably the precursor to, okay, he's about to take over. He's about to take over.
That
chest is beginning to pop out. Okay. And I'm on the right team, too.
Slow down, mister. Not yet. Pete, chill. Hey, hang on a minute. Yeah, so that's cool. But this is where we're at. The earth is groaning because it's out of sync. So it's deteriorating. It's just falling apart like everything else. Matter of fact, all creation groans and travails. It's literally waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's like, you own this place. Can we get to where you fix it? Okay, well, yes, now man owns it. That's why Jesus became a man, because now he's God and man, and he can rule over everything. And basically, his energy will come in and be, you know, hyper-injected back into creation and go back to where it was. You know, it's going to electroshock the universe back into coherence. It's going to be fun.
Well, before we get out of here today, I want to spend a little bit of time on current events that go along with what's going on. And you look at Russia and the Ukraine. That war has been going on for quite a while. And on August the 15th, President Trump is going to meet with Russian President Putin in Alaska. Now, from what I saw, and this is reporting coming out of Russia itself, that Putin said, yeah, I'm ready to end the war as long as they give us the eastern part of the Ukraine. That's my prize. And President Trump not responding to that, I don't think. I believe he said this prior to that statement. He said that in order for this to happen, a peace to happen, that there would have to be exchange of territories. Now, did he mean that Russia's got to give up something too? Or did he mean that the Ukraine's got to give up territory? That's unclear. From the Ukrainian point of view, they said that they will not give up one inch of territory. So that's the setup going into August the 15th. So putting on your Nostradamus hat, Mr. Paxton, what do you think will be the result of this on August the 15th?
Well, he is a false prophet. Let's not do him. Look, it said towers. It must mean the Twin Towers.
Right, yeah. I know. Yeah. I fell into that Nostradamus trap when the movie first came out on HBO, and it's been totally discredited. And I'll tell you why, because I actually got the book and read it. And, that discredited the whole thing right away.
Yeah, there's that. Again, the wars and rumors of wars, all the powers. Now, they were all separate nations before, weren't they? I mean, weren't the czars, because we see Caesar, and that's just a Russian word for czar, Caesar, the czars. There's some skullduggery going on in the royal family in Russia, which has opened the door for the evil one to come in. And then he basically went around and hijacked all these other countries around him, kind of like Hitler was trying to do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine just says, listen, just leave us alone. And and Russia's like, no, you have to come back. Because why can't they just leave them alone? Mm. Not that Ukraine is perfect, especially with that lunatic they got over there.
Well, the reason for it, as I understand it, was that in the 1980s that Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev made a deal in which the United States agreed that NATO would not continue to gather more nations in and around Russia, and specifically would leave their hands off of the Ukraine. And since that time, and I've still got the little mini movie, and as a matter of fact, you guys can find it at lastchristian.net. There's a little mini movie there that shows all of the different countries that have been eaten up by NATO in the past few years after 1980. And now the Ukraine was wanting to go ahead and join NATO as well. That was the final straw. That's what caused the invasion. So now, could they negotiate it again where, okay, we'll leave the Ukraine, but you've got to promise us again that you're not going to try to put them in NATO, with Zelensky doing nothing but trying to get in NATO. So that's a hard sell. So I don't know how this is going to work out. I think Russia is afraid that if it doesn't agree to something, that those tariffs are going to kick in on them, and that's crippling for them, whether or not they want to admit it or not. And the reason that I know it is because all of a sudden Putin wants to talk real fast. I mean, these meetings usually take months to set up, not a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's just that these negotiation tactics are there because it's setting the groundwork for the big one, the 7-year contract.
Right.
So this is probably not it. But you want to set an atmosphere as, everybody's talking about these agreements and these peace deals, and there'd be peace. And now since everybody's talking about it, it's much easier to just walk into that final 7-year agreement. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Just setting the stage.
Yeah.
That's that. So we're done. You going to take us out?
Well, I'm going to let you do it today, David.
Oh, okay.
You close it a lot better than I do.
Truth. Here's the deal. You smell. And you need a savior. Listen, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. If you admit that, it's a legal term. And if you then trust the new contract that we have with Jesus, believe in your heart and then confess it. You have to speak it out loud. If you can't talk, then speak it, in your heart to the Lord. But Jesus paid for your sins. Come and be with us. Lord willing, we'll see you on the next show. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.